It is Thursday, September 27th, 2018. This is the PW Torch Livecast here on a Thursday night. Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek with you talking Impact Wrestling. And Andrew, what were your thoughts on this one? I'm kind of on the fence about whether or not I think this was a good show. I thought there were some good things here, but at the same time, I also think there were some things that were not very good at all, including a main event that seemed to lack energy, and I'm not sure has anyone really excited to see the main event of what's supposed to be their biggest show of the year.
Yeah, when I was looking at this episode through the lens of how are they going to convince me and others to spend $40 in 2.5 weeks, I think they failed pretty badly here. This doesn't feel like their WrestleMania season at all. There was a lot of stuff on here that has nothing to do with Bound for Glory. They're hyping big matches, I guess, for next week instead of saving them for the show. It was confusing. It was lackluster. I mean, yeah, there were some good shows. If this was an episode in May or, I don't know, February, it would have probably been fine. But what they're trying to set out to do, I think that it just wasn't productive in any way.
Well, that's the thing. You know, and we talked a little bit about this last week, like in terms of just why doesn't this feel bigger? You know, is Aries Impact the right match? We talked about the lack of roster depth and how they're kind of stuck. I mean, this might be the biggest match they can present at this point in time. But, you know, there's just – again, there's another thing we talked about last week. It's possible that the main event tonight was filmed at the end of a – 4-hour taping and the crowd was dead because of that, but it just didn't seem like anybody was interested in that main event. And whether it's a language barrier or whether it's a barrier of just, hey, maybe the crowd from Mexico isn't, you know, entirely up to date on the Impact product, it's not good to have your go home to your biggest show be, you know, it's not the go home, but I mean, the go home show for Bound for Glory will be from Mexico. It'll be part of this series of Mexico tapings. If they're all like this, and the last thing we see is a lackluster crowd for a main event that they don't seem that interested in heading into a pay per view where, like you said, they're asking you to spend $40 for, I just don't know how that's going to work. And hell, look, maybe they'll surprise. I don't remember us being, you know, over the top excited about Slammiversary and thinking it was going to be this just knockout show, and it was. You know, Slammiversary really delivered. So maybe once they get there, they'll find a way to make it work, and the show will be good. But the build to it anyway, and you know, there's two more episodes left, but the build to it anyway so far has felt really subdued. And like you said, that's not what you get when you're watching WWE programming ahead of WrestleMania. This is supposed to be their biggest show of the year. They're still talking about it like it's their biggest show of the year, but it doesn't feel like it is.
No, not at all. I you know, I was just looking at Wikipedia right before the show and just trying to think of what is every match announced so far, because I couldn't even think of them all. There's only five right now, and that just seems like a mistake on their part. I mean, so if you look at just total TV time, for example, Murder Clown versus Joe Hendry should theoretically be a match at the pay-per-view just due to how much TV time they've given Kat Arena versus Joe Hendry. You know, you could make it make sense. Hey, Joe, you're going to face Murder Clown in a couple weeks at Bound for Glory. Okay, fine. At least do something. You know, give people a hook for why they should be tuning into this. Instead, they're doing that match next week. They're doing Matt Sydal versus Rich Swann next week instead of saving that, which has also got a lot of TV time. So, yeah, they're just hurting themselves here by doing stuff like that and the lackluster crowd reaction. And nothing feels special or big at the moment. And, you know, we've talked about other matches like Sami Callihan, you know, kind of being wasted in a six-man match and Brian Cage being tied up in the six-man match. There's just a lot of small mistakes, and they're all adding up to a show that doesn't feel big. Like, in my mind right now, the only match I'm excited to see is LAX versus the OGs at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, that's the build to that match tonight. I thought was good. I thought Eddie Kingston's promo was good. Burning Conan's mask, I thought was really cool and something that a heel would do. So that I'm a bit excited about. I wasn't a big fan of the LAX match on this show. They get a win over the Desi Hit Squad, but it was way too competitive when you consider that the Desi Hit Squad have been, you know, glorified enhancement talent, really. LAX are your tag team champions going into a pretty big marquee match at the pay-per-view, and the match to me was too long and too competitive. LAX right now should be positioned as, you know, a 45-second win over the Desi Hit Squad. Seriously, I mean, it should be a 1 or 2 minute match, not, you know, I don't know exactly how long it was, but it felt like it had to have been 8 or 9 minutes. You know, maybe it may have even stretched to 10. I'm not sure, but way too long considering how both teams have been pushed on the show. But yeah, I'm excited about that match as well. It's probably the match I'm most excited about right now, I would agree. I would say that I'm the next biggest match for me on the show is the other six-man. It's Brian Cage, Pentagon, and Phoenix against OVE. Even though we both kind of feel like Cage and Callahan are being wasted a little bit in the six-man, it's still the match that I'm looking forward to, probably the second most on the show. The world title match would probably be third. You know, maybe even fourth, to be honest with you. Yeah. Because Tessa Blanchard versus Taya Valkyrie that they announced tonight, I think is going to be a good match too. So, yeah, it's the world title is going to main event the show. The world title always main events the show. It should main event the show. The fact that we're not the fact that for both of us, that's not the match that either of us are most excited to see, I think is a problem. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, maybe it doesn't matter much for them. You know, I don't know how much revenue they generate from pay-per-view buys. Maybe it's not consequential enough that they really care whether, you know, 5,000 people buy it or 10,000 people buy it. But it's, I think it's a problem where, like you said, you're asking people to shell out more money than they have to on a regular basis for wrestling. And the probable main event is not one that anyone feels all that excited about, whether it's you and me or whether it's the crowd reaction that you watch when you watch the show. No one seems excited to see Johnny Impact versus Austin Aries, and that's a problem when that's what you're selling the pay-per-view on.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of the blame goes to how Johnny Impact has been portrayed. He's just a flat character. He's too goofy. I mean, he comes out in a giant fur coat. He called he brought out the turd cutters line again. He's just so
we cannot bring out turd cutters.
Yeah, he's just so dorky. Like, he's a couple years older than me, and, you know, theoretically I should be like, man, I want to be like Johnny Impact. Cool dude. I'm like, no, this guy's a dork. If he worked in my office, I'd be like, oh god, there's Johnny Impact. there he is again,
wearing his Zubaz pants.
Yeah. You know, overall, just tonight, the only match that was enhanced by this was LAX, and, you know, mainly because of Eddie Kingston's promo. Everything else, every other feud, I'm either at the same level of interest or less. You know, you go back to that six-man tag match. I mean, Brian Cage basically beat the crap out of OVE by himself. So why do I need to watch the match?
That's a good point.
Also, Pentagon Jr. can apparently teleport and teleport back and tie up a man in 3 freaking seconds. Like, this is stupid. Like, but why doesn't he just do that in every match?
I don't have an argument with it. Yeah, I don't have any argument for you.
Yeah, that's everything. I don't know what to say. I mean, they took a match I already thought was bad, and they've somehow made it dumber tonight.
Also, like you said, you brought up Murder Clown. So we can't go a week without some reference to murder on the show, apparently. That's the new thing. Let's see how many times we can reference murder in an episode of Impact, because it seems like every week either a child is getting nearly murdered or, I mean, now we're just calling people Murder Clown.
Yeah.
Is he a Lucha Underground character? You would know the answer to this.
Unless he debuted in season 4, he is not.
Okay. Yeah, because I had never heard of Murder Clown.
I've never heard of Murder Clown, and for some reason they're wasting TV time on this 2 weeks before their biggest show of the year.
Let's see. Murder Clown. Let's see if there's a...
just Google Murder Clown, see what pops up.
Hey, there it is. He is Los Psycho Circus. Was a Lucha Libre professional wrestler, so apparently he is retired. I don't know. This was a trio.
There's Lost Psycho Circus and Monster Clown? I'm very confused.
This was a trio that had disbanded, and the wrestlers were known by Psycho Clown, Monster Clown, and Murder Clown. Mm. So there we go. AAA. Murder Clown is from AAA. There's also Mini Murder Clown, apparently.
Oh, he doesn't even have his own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Jeez, no.
As we found out earlier tonight, I am now Wikipedia famous, so that's I got that going for me, which is
heck
nice.
Yeah.
Someone who apparently reviewed Slammiversary or who made the Wikipedia entry for Slammiversary decided that my hot takes were the hot takes that needed to be on that Wikipedia page.
I wonder if there's somebody in the Impact office who does that. They're like, your job today is look for positive reviews and put them on Wikipedia.
Well, I was very positive about Slammiversary. So
you were.
I think that's why it's on there.
To be fair, it was a good show. So
it was, yeah. Yeah, and again, like, getting back to Bound for Glory, look, they could deliver here. You know, that's the thing, because I think back to Slammiversary, and you and I were not, you know, raving about that show or just over-the-top excited for Slammiversary. Neither one of us were like, we can't wait, you know, for this Sunday to watch Slammiversary. We weren't – I think we were looking forward to the show. I think we thought, okay, yeah, it'll be a – you know, the Redemption, they had that pay-per-view in April. Well, it'll probably be similar to that. Neither one of us had real high expectations. And then they came in and just it felt like Slammiversary was going to be a game changer for them. And it's interesting because now we're going into their biggest show of the year and we're talking about how flat the show feels and how flat a lot of the storylines feel. It almost, you know, you wonder, will we be looking back a year from now going, wow, Slammiversary 2018 was really a lost opportunity because the follow-up just wasn't there. And I think that may be reflective in the ratings, too. You look at the viewership, and it's declining again. And now, granted, they're up against the NFL on Thursdays. I'm sure that's going to hurt. But that could be another indication that, hey, people that were watching after Slammiversary, people that tuned in after the buzz that Slammiversary had, aren't sticking around. And, again, that points to creatively something's a problem.
Yeah, I think so. And I know there was a few, you know, pretty strong weeks of television shows. You know, I felt there was 3 or 4 weeks in a row where we kind of, you know, agreed like, yeah, that was a pretty solid episode. Not so much the past 2 weeks. And it came at a really bad time. And I wonder why they chose to go to Mexico in the first place 4 weeks before their biggest show of the year. They did that with the India tapings, too, before Slammiversary last year. I mean, it's great for them to get out of the impact zone, but you're putting yourself in front of a crowd that isn't that interested in your product. They aren't that knowledgeable about it. They, you know, it seems a lot of people there don't care about the impact regulars. So it's just they set themselves up for failure once again. Maybe they thought the reception was going to be better, but so far it's been pretty lackluster, despite there being, you know, a lot of people in the crowd compared to usual.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a situation where they don't have enough familiar names for that crowd. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's Mexico City. Or if they're not exactly in Mexico City, they've got to be pretty close to Mexico City because Eli Drake was running around Mexico City in a vignette tonight. So you would think, okay, they have some AAA talent on their show, or at least they have had AAA talent on their show. Is that going to be enough to attract the eyeballs? And, you know, you think back, and really with the exception of a handful of guys, there's not – I mean, well, Pentagon and Phoenix for sure, but there's not a lot of AAA guys that are on the show anymore. I mean, at one point they had Phantasma, they had Tejano, who I know was on the show last week, but that feels like it was a one-off. He hasn't been a regular on the show in months. They also had Phantasma. They also had Laredo Kid. I mean, they were going – at one point they were featuring a lot of AAA talent. They haven't in the last 4 to 6 months. So, yeah, the timing of running Mexico I think is a little strange just when you look at the fact that you know, a lot of the AAA talent that they were featuring on a regular basis just aren't there anymore.
Yeah, I found that strange as well. I mean, they brought back Tejano last week and really didn't play up that he had been in the promotion before. Other guys just show up and disappear. I mean, I'm looking at their roster right now, and Phantasma still shows up, and he hasn't been on in quite some time. Heck, Chandler Park is still there. Andrew Everett's there.
Chandler Park hasn't been on the show since they were taping in Canada.
Yeah.
Not Toronto. I don't think he's been on since they were taping in Ottawa. That's a year ago at this point.
Yeah, he Vikas Kumar? I don't know who that is. Is he? Huh, interesting. That's a whole other conversation that somebody should clean that up. Yeah, I mean,
are they turning into like that indie promotion that puts, you know, they brought Kevin Nash in for an autograph signing once, and now they list him on their roster page?
It's starting to see what it looks like, man. This kind of whole thing makes me sad. Desmond Xavier, where's he been?
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, he's fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, man.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
But yeah, I mean, if you would assume if they went to Mexico and put all these, put some of these wrestlers on TV, they would have something in mind for them. That they don't, except for, you know, very, very brief angles, it appears, like we saw with Fabio Pacci, with, I don't know really what it accomplished, you know, to get people excited for Bound for Glory. Same with Murder Clown. If you're going to get Murder Clown, I guess at least save him. I don't know. Maybe people would be intrigued to see Murder Clown. I don't know. None of this makes any sense to me.
All right. Well, it's a good name. If nothing else.
It's unfortunate that his parents named him that. I mean, you're really kind of doomed when your parents name you Murder Clown.
And then, I mean, ultimately, too, the thing that ruins it for most people still, I think, is that we don't have Richie. Richie's not on the show. He's not booked. If Richie were booked for Bound for Glory, I have a whole different opinion about the show right now.
I mean, I would have figured by now he would have came out, given an emotional speech, probably could cut a 20-minute promo. Man, he'd be over like crazy. Also, looking at the roster, what happened to Diamante? She was in this feud and she just disappeared.
Oh, good point. Yeah, she vanished too.
Just and Richie are both gone.
If you were talking about how the cement block death match, whatever they're calling it, that LAX and OGs are going to have at Bound for Glory. You were saying, and I agree with you, that it's probably going to be pre-taped, some type of thing, like similar to the Final Deletion or whatever. What if that the finish of that match was Richie running Eddie Kingston over with a car?
Oh, man.
How appropriate would that be? Poetic justice.
Poetic justice, man. If that doesn't happen, I would say I'm going to quit watching, but no, I'll be back the next week.
Richie, who's not old enough to drive.
Yeah.
Runs over. And that's how they kill it. Oh, that's how they kill Eddie Kingston.
Oh,
you were saying last week, I bet at some point they kill off a character. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what they'll do.
I've never cried in a wrestling match in my life, but I think that might get me. That would just be so emotional to see, you know, Richie alive and well and able to drive.
Richie's before redemption. The age of 16.
That's worth $40 right there.
So let's see what else before we get to phone calls, which, by the way, you can join us at 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. I want to run through a couple of other things on the show before we do get to calls, though. And the first thing is Taya Valkyrie. She's back. She cut a promo, it looked like, from her house. It may have been recorded. Who knows? Could have been recorded on an iPhone, for all we know. But she's back. She will be at Bound for Glory. She challenges Tessa Blanchard. I believe we talked last week about what they were going to do with the women's title at Bound for Glory, who was the logical choice to challenge Tessa Blanchard for the title. We now know that it's Taya Valkyrie. This, you know, and I think we said at the time, this probably feels like the biggest women's match that they could promote right now that we haven't seen. So I don't know how it will play out, especially if Taya Valkyrie is not going to be there for the next 2 weeks, where if she's cutting a promo from home on the video screen. I would imagine she's not just going to suddenly show up in Mexico next week as part of these tapings, considering they were all taped on back-to-back days. So I don't know how it will necessarily play out if she's not there to physically build up the match. But still, I don't know if you disagree. This feels to me like it's the biggest women's match that they could possibly promote right now.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. I mean, I guess if Rosemary could come back, but I think she tore her ACL, so she'll probably be out for a while. But yeah, so what they, you know, the wrestlers they have access to right now, it's probably the biggest they can get. It's still, it's not good though. I like Taya. I think she's a good talent, but last we saw her, she was a heel. Last we saw her, she, you know, they kind of took away a bit of her mystique. This time we saw her, she looks like she was just standing up in front of her computer, cutting a promo. It didn't look good. It looked low. I know WWE kind of does that stuff, but that's garbage when they do that with their wrestlers recording selfie promos. But I mean, credit to them for, you know, trying to cobble something together. But I'm not just crazy excited. But like you said, I think it'll be a good match. But what Impact is doing right now is, like, the angles aren't that good, but you still say, well, I guess it'll be worth the money because it'll be a good show. Like, they shouldn't have to rely on that. They should get people excited and not just hoping that the wrestling will overcome all the poor lead up to it.
Yes. The other thing is, it does seem like that'll probably be a one-off.
Yeah.
Kira Hogan, oddly enough, gets a win in the tag team match tonight. Her and Allie take on Su Yung and the Undead Bridesmaid. Kira Hogan gets the pin and not Allie. And I thought it was interesting that Josh Matthews wondered during the match, you know, Kira Hogan looked so good in the match, you know, was she going to earn herself a Knockouts title match at some point? So it feels like they're trying to lay the groundwork for her to potentially be the next challenger after Bound for Glory. So if that's the case, they're positioning Taya as a babyface. I would expect Tessa Blanchard retains and then probably feuds with Kira Hogan for the belts, maybe going into the early part of the winter. Not really sure, yeah. But did you get the same read on that? Because I thought it was interesting that she got the pin, and then just, you know, looking back at it again, Josh Matthews at least once or twice wondered if she was going to get a title shot here in the future.
That seems to be the story that they're telling, or at least laying that groundwork for her to get that title shot. Yeah, it seems that way. It's just too unfortunate that we know zero about Kira Hogan.
Yeah, character development has been terrible. She's cut some promos, but that's it.
Yeah, she's basically been positioned as Allie's sidekick thus far. You know, just seeing that match tonight, it just felt pointless. It was an okay match, I guess, but it just felt this didn't need to take place on this night. There should be more pressing matters for them to try and to accomplish. But yeah, it seems that's where they're headed. But before they get there, they really need to let us know who she is to make it matter.
All right, let's go to phone calls. Again, you can join us at 515-605-9345. Make sure you hit the number 1. That's going to let us know that you want to get on the line and discuss Impact Wrestling tonight. You're in the PW Torch Livecast. Let's go first to Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, hello.
How are you, my Andrew?
I think I'm doing okay. Just okay.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry, which could be why I didn't enjoy the show as much as I normally do. But other than that, I think I'm good.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't make sense. Since you spoke about matches that you felt were too competitive tonight earlier in the show, one that immediately crossed my mind was the Fabi Apache versus Tessa Blanchard match. Did you think that this match was slightly too competitive, or am I just crazy?
I think it all depends. You know, if they're going to bring Fabi Apache back in, if they're going to use her a lot moving forward, if they're going to bring her to Bound for Glory and the tapings that ensue after that, then I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, you bring up a good point because I hadn't really considered this. If she just goes away, if this was a one-off thing and she had a couple of matches at these Mexican television tapings and we're never going to hear or see from her again, then, yeah, I don't like the idea that Tessa Blanchard was in such a long competitive match with her. Because what does it build to? You know, Tessa Blanchard gets a win, but if you're really trying to get her over as this butt kicker, quicker decisive wins, I think, is the way to do it. Unless they plan on keeping Fabio Pacci around for a while, then, okay, you don't want to just decimate her on her second match on the show. So I think it makes a little more sense if she's going to be around. But that all remains to be seen, I guess. Andrew, what are your thoughts there?
I mean, I think I'm with you, Kylan, because the thing is, they've never introduced Fabio Pacci in any form whatsoever to Impact's storytelling universe. Like, she never really existed in their world. So she showed up last week, had a pretty, I think it was Alicia Edwards, she had a pretty long competitive match with. So if you really want to make Tessa look strong, then yeah, have Tessa destroy her in a minute. Then the announcers could really put over like how unstoppable Tessa is. And then Taya pops up and says, you know, you've never beat me sort of thing. So, yeah, just maybe she'll show up again. I doubt it, at least on a regular basis. But, yeah, so kind of what you're saying, Mike, if she does, then, yeah, I guess that makes sense to protect her some. But I don't know. I just don't think we'll see very much of her. So it seems like a bit of a little bit of. Not great booking there.
Yeah, I would venture to guess so. My second question is in regards to the ill-checked computerized roster that you warned of earlier. Could Impact be clearing of the salaries of people like Andrew Everett and Chandler Park and all of the people you mentioned to add further credence to my possible theory number one last week of them secretly exploring the possibility of buying Impact since they are still, according to Mike Johnson's report from PW Insider last week, hemorrhaging funds due to their lack of subscriptions for the Global Wrestling Network and other ventures.
So I don't know. I don't know. I guess the big question is, what are they really saving? You know, some of these guys that they've walked away from and they've cut, or that either has walked away from them or they've walked away from themselves. I don't know that they were on big money deals. I don't know that they were necessarily on any type of guarantee. Like, I could be wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me to learn that Andrew Everett was on some type of, you know, pay per appearance type deal and not any type of guaranteed deal. We don't know, obviously, but it wouldn't surprise me to learn that. So I don't know that that's necessarily saving them a ton of money. Now, look, if they are really hemorrhaging money, they have to save money any way they can. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me. But at the same time, I mean, they're signing some talent now to longer-term deals. Tessa Blanchard signed a multi-year deal. I read something today that they're trying to work out a multi-year extension with LAX. So there seems to be at least some type of strategy to it. You know, I'm sure they're losing money because I don't know what the revenue streams are. I mean, with the exception of some shared advertising with Pop TV, there's no regular revenue for the company, and I'm sure there's a lot of expense. So I'm pretty certain that they're losing money. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, I think, Andrew, how we were talking about those reports that their Sony 6 deal in India is their most lucrative television deal. there's other revenue streams, international distribution and things of that nature that I'm sure they're making a little bit of money with. But I'm sure they're losing money. I'm sure they're in the red. So do they need to find ways to save money? Yes, they do. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily positioning themselves for a sale, but it could be. I mean, sometimes companies, bigger companies, before they merge or sell off, they will try to position their books the best way possible, and shedding salary is one way to do that. But I don't know. I don't think that this is necessarily about them positioning themselves to sell the company. I mean, I understand why it could look that way, because that's what companies would do if you're trying to offload something. If you own a company that you're trying to get rid of, you're going to try to cut as many expenses as you can to position those books in the best way possible. But this doesn't feel like what they're doing to me. I think it could just be a cost savings move. I think it could be, even if it's not saving them a ton of money, it could just be something that they want to kind of freshen up the roster and freshen up who they present on TV. And they think, okay, Andrew Everett wants his release. We can give it to him because now we can take that money. And maybe that's more money we can give LAX to stay on a 2-year deal. You know, it could be them just shuffling the deck a little bit to a certain extent as well.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
Andrew, what do you think? I mean, we talked a little bit about that secret meeting between WWE and Impact last week. Do you think that some of the financial decisions they've made when it comes to talent could be them positioning themselves for a potential buyer?
I wouldn't look to those specific wrestlers for that, for like a clue as to that. Mainly because Andrew Everett, there's no way he was making six figures in that company. So he was probably paid per... Well, and he was granted his release as well. I'm sure he just wasn't making a lot. His run as a tag team champ was very short. He probably just saw the writing on the wall that, hey, this is going to be my career for a while. So I'll try to get out. I think if we see guys like Moose or Brian Cage suddenly disappear, then that would be time to worry or speculate that they're about to sell. And yeah, Chandler Park was just a dud, unnecessary character. I mean, talented guy, Ethan Page, talented guy, but just a character that didn't need to exist really. So, there's always the possibility that they could sell at any time, especially if they're hemorrhaging money. But I just wouldn't look to those two as clues at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be in a spot, too, where they'll bring people in for tapings. Like Chandler Park, mm-hmm. I think, was probably brought in for one or two tapings. And if it's a 3 or 4 day taping, they could say, look, you know, we'll pay your road expenses, and we'll pay you $1,500 to come in for 3 days. That's mm-hmm. $500 a day. And they were never really under any type of contract or no guarantee, you know, certainly. So I think that they have had some agreements like that with talent recently. Like I'm sure that's what Tejano was. You know, he's not a regular on the show, but they used him for a night. You know, maybe they literally paid him like you would an indie show. You know, we'll give you $500 or $1,000 or whatever to wrestle Austin Aries, and it's the main event of one of our shows. I mean, I think they're making a lot of decisions like that right now as well, with guys that they don't necessarily even have under contract or any type of guarantee contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My next what? I don't know about you, but I personally was slightly uncomfortable with lullaby tonight.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
It was just a little creepy to me.
I think I was most surprised that he can say the word falla. I didn't know he had that in his vocabulary.
Yeah, up until now, it had only been ba. So the fact that he can throw falla out there as well was a revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to stand an inch away from somebody's face singing them a lullaby. That's especially a heavy set grown man. That just doesn't look too good.
and then he draped his robe over him, I think, as well.
Yeah, he did.
That's right.
He's a courteous ba.
Yeah.
He's a kind, a gentle ba.
Yeah. Oh, that's one way to look at it. Then Joshua Don Callis mentioned an opponent for Brian Cage for Bound for Glory. If not, and if Brian Cage is defending the X Division title at Bound for Glory, who do you think his opponent should be? Be it within Impact now, or do you think they can get away with going outside to, say, an old-school Impact veteran?
Yeah, they haven't, they haven't said for sure. I mean, obviously, he's part of the six-man match. He's with Pentagon and Phoenix against OVE, but they haven't... They haven't said whether or not he's going to have an additional match for the X Division title. I think it's weird that you wouldn't have the X Division title on the show. So maybe that's something they do. Maybe they add a Brian Cage X Division championship match and he has to wrestle twice and run one night, because it feels a little strange that they don't have that title being defended on the show. But, you know, I think the more than likely scenario is that he just wrestles a six man that he's in and that's it. But that's me. Andrew, what do you think? Do you think they'll add an X Division championship match and he'll wrestle twice? Or do you think they'll just go with the one match the Cage is in right now?
So it looks like only five matches are announced right now. So they're going to have to add two, maybe three more for the show, but I would guess it's not going to be him defending the X Division title. I think they would have just hinted at that in some form already. They could always, you know, toss in some sort of impromptu challenger or run some sort of angle, but they haven't kind of hinted at anything like that. So I think they're just having the X Division title sadly sit this one out, which is disappointing due to how much they've built him up and over the past 6 months or so.
And final question. I know we haven't heard anything regarding whether Pop TV is even happy with Impact's performance recently, but have you two thought about any potential networks that Impact may want to look into going to if they do not find a reasonably lucrative deal with Pop TV by December 31st.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Fox Sports would have been the reasonable one to consider. Not anymore. I mean, they're now in business with WWE, so I don't think that's an option for them. But I would have said Fox, not the Fox Network, but Fox Sports prior to, you know, a few months ago when WWE signed with them. I don't know, you know, I don't know of any off the top of my head that I think are looking to get into the wrestling business. Andrew, I don't know if you have any that come to mind, but, you know, I think part of it will be a network that maybe has never broadcast wrestling before that sees the type of interest and money that WWE is now bringing to a network like Fox and figures, hey, maybe we can't get the number one brand in the marketplace, but we can try to get, you know, one of the secondary brands in the marketplace and make it ours. That's what Spike tried to do 10 years ago, or a little more than 10 years ago. So maybe that's something that another network decides they want to do, you know, now. But at the same time, you could also look at it and say, hey, if you were going to market a new wrestling promotion and you're a network that wants to bring a wrestling promotion on board, you know, why would you even pick Impact at this point? You know, I think there's other options that you could look at even before Impact in terms of where you're going to invest your money. So, yeah, I don't know of any that come to mind. Andrew, do you have any that just – am I missing an obvious one here that, hey, you know, they should have a conversation with these people?
You know, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now and nothing is popping up at all. I mean, even something out of the box like Sci-Fi, you know, that used to air ECW, but they're under the NBC Universal umbrella. So that wouldn't happen due to their deal with WWE, you know, stuff like Bravo, Cooking Channel. They're not going to pick it up.
I don't think so.
Destination America, it would be a long shot. Yeah. Looking at all these, nothing is popping out at all. You know, if their ratings were higher, I'm, you know, of course they could get more people interested. But, yeah, everything I can think of already has, you know, like something random like the BN TV already has wrestling as well. So maybe there is something obvious that we're overlooking. But man, it does not look like there's a lot of great obvious options for them come the end of the year.
And I don't even think they will want to go to BTV because they've been dropped by five different cable providers in like the last 6 months because I take it nobody knows that they have been TV on their cable package and nobody watches it.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. I think in Comcast they were having some issues. They may still be on Comcast, but I know, like you said, Colin, there have been other outlets, other cable carriers that have dropped them recently.
Yeah, Court Bauer over at MLW must be pulling his hair out knowing that several different cable providers have pulled this network off of their roster of channels.
Yeah, it's not the news you want, especially if you're you know, branding your show along with that network.
Especially considering that being bought his promotion so that they could brand their network around MLW since all they were doing was airing soccer matches from like Portugal and other countries which Americans weren't really watching.
Yeah, I know they had done a lot, I think, with college sports, I think, is why. I think there was a lot of college sports or teams and programs that were using BN Sports as a way to distribute, you know, as much as they could their show and their product. So, yeah, probably not the news, I would think, that MLW or anyone that has partnered with that network was was looking for.
Nope, I don't think so. Well, that's it for this week, guys. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Kylan, thanks for the call. Again, 515-605-9345 is the number.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
We have another caller lined up here that this is either an international call or it's a Skype call because it comes up as all ones. And Andrew, the last time this happened, we thought that it was Richie, if you remember.
We did, yeah.
He never answered.
It could be him.
He never answered, but.
He's trying. He's trying to reach out.
Exactly. We were pretty sure that it was Richie. So we're going to go to this number now. We're going to see if anyone's there. Caller, if you can hear me, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, it's Matt from Bakersfield, California.
Matt, oh, it's Matt from Bakersfield. I thought you may have been Richie.
I was trying my best Richie voice, and then at the end I chickened out.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Did Richie ever speak?
Yeah, you could have done anything. We would have bought it. Bummer.
Yeah, see, we wouldn't have known. We would have just taken your word for it.
Next week. Next week.
Okay.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I'm with you on this Impact. I was, I thought it started out good, but then I thought it just, on the fence, I meant. I thought the Impact was, a lot of the matches were hit and miss.
Yeah, no disagreement, I think, here. I think some of them were obviously better than others. I like the opener. I think, Andrew, you do too. But, yeah, there was some other stuff that certainly left things to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, and I have to respectfully disagree with Kylan on how he, you know, attacked Fabi Apache. What I'm trying to say is... I've seen her wrestle since like 2007. I've seen her on AAA. When I first moved here to Bakersfield, she was like the centerpiece of AAA and still has been for all these past years. So like in Mexico, I mean, she is a huge star. So I could see where like, you know, people in the U.S. don't really know who she is. Like with her head, she just lost her hair. She used to have this long, beautiful brown hair, and she lost the match, and she had to shave her head. That's why she has the short hair.
Ah, okay. Mm. Yeah, I think Andrew and I were talking last week. You know, it would have been better if they explained some of who she was so that, you know, people knew. Because I think that was the big thing that I don't think people knew enough about who she was. That could have done a better job kind of explaining her backstory a little bit. I think it would have helped.
Yeah, I think if they were trying to make it really matter, they should have, you know, announced it a couple weeks ahead of time that they were going to do that match. And maybe they did a week ahead of time, but I feel they didn't. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't watched enough AAA, so I just was very unfamiliar with her. And I'm guessing a lot of people weren't as well. I know she does have quite the history, but I don't think they did a great job of really letting the viewers know that.
Oh, and I totally agree with this murder clown. When I saw him pop up, I mean, I was laughing because, like, I stopped watching AAA right when the Psycho Circus had just, like, debuted. And, you know, I remember seeing these guys, and they're just hardcore wrestlers. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They use a lot of tables, a lot of thumbtacks, chairs to the head, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily surprise
me,
I guess.
With Joe Henry.
With a name like Murder Clown, I kind of would expect that, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the match with Joe Henry is like going to be like a comedy match. You know, but I'm still interested to see what he can do.
Yeah, I think that that's probably where they're going with it, too. You know, I am moderately interested, which is more than what I can say for what, you know, Grado and Joe Henry have typically been able to drum up as far as my interest level in the show in the last few months. I haven't been interested in much of what they've been doing at all. So, yeah, I would say that I am moderately interested in what they're doing right now, which is, like I said, better than it has been anyway. Andrew, what about you? I mean, are you looking forward to the big Murder Clown?
I've never seen Murder Clown wrestle, so I'll give him that. You know, that's something new. I just go back to this angle that I feel like I don't know who's they're portraying Katarina as the villain here, but again, you know, she was in love with the guy. He kind of let her on, or you know, and then she turned on Grado, and then they humiliated her a couple weeks in a row, and now she's having a clown try to beat up. Like, you know, it's stupid. I don't know. That's basically the only way
I can say. Kind of makes total sense.
I guess, yeah. The person you're in love with turns you down.
With you, hey, I'm going to go get a clown.
I mean, maybe it's happened
You've
at some point.
You've never broken a girl's heart and she sent out a killer clown to you?
You know what? I take that back. That has happened a couple times, so. Yeah.
I mean, Andrew, it's happened to the best of us. We've all had killer clowns, put on us by jealous ex-girlfriends.
Because I sang a song about her and put it on YouTube, and it's we've all been there.
And gentlemen, did you guys order your Bound for Glory hats?
Not yet. Andrew, did you?
I think that I heard shipping is $9.99, so I'm not is paying it? $10 to wear that thing.
I thought they said it was, oh, so it's free, but you have to pay for shipping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not sure I'd pay $10 for it.
Well,
I
ordered one. I paid the $10. And I haven't gotten my hat.
Did you get the beanie or like the baseball hat?
No, I got the baseball hat.
Okay.
So, you know, I was like, oh, it's a free hat, so you pay for shipping, $10. I mean, what's $10, you know, nowadays?
True. Yeah. And hopefully you'll get it before Bound for Glory.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for.
I mean, I'm assuming the idea here. Yeah, I was just gonna say, I'm assuming the idea here is that we want people to order the pay per view, so we're gonna try to get some publicity out there by having these hats go out. So, not getting them in the hands of people that ordered them would seem like it is a bad idea. I've never run a wrestling promotion, but if that's what I was gonna, if my idea was I was gonna give people free hats. I'd wanted them to get their free hats before the pay-per-view actually happened.
Yeah.
And wear it while the pay-per-view is going on.
Tweet your Josh Matthews can tell people to tweet him their photos of people wearing their Bound for Glory hat during the pay-per-view. I mean, that just makes sense.
It does. Perfect sense.
Ah, cool. And what do you think of this Eddie Kingston promo? I mean, I was just at the edge of my seat.
I like the Eddie Kingston promo. Andrew, I think you did too, right? I mean, I thought it was good. His delivery, I thought, was good. Everything about it was good. He's been really good in this role as kind of the manager talking head for originally LAX and now the OGs. Yeah, I've been a big fan of his. I was a fan of his first run through where they when I thought they should have done more with him. So yeah, I think he's done really good work, and I was a big fan of this tonight.
I'd say highlight of the night for me. Yeah, I mean, I have a bad feeling about what's going to happen to his character. I don't know. But I would like to see him either stay around as a wrestler. I think he's only like 36, 37.
He's not old.
So, yeah, he's not old. So I'd like to see him stick around either as a manager or a wrestler. I mean, I know he was in the DCC for a little bit, so I don't know if they could maybe just stick him in another tag team as well. But I think it would definitely be a decent-sized loss if he did not stay on the show every week. I know the angles have been questionable at time, but overall he is just fantastic on the mic.
Yes, I totally agree. I hope he sticks around. Actually, I hope he takes out Josh Matthews and takes his spot as a commentator because I think he would be hell entertaining. He'd be great.
He'd be a really good color guy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, him as play-by-play, that could be – that'd be interesting. Him and Don Callis for 2 hours.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really good color guy. And also, yeah. Too, I don't mind the three-man booth. I think Don Callis and Kingston could pull off a three-man booth if they were together. I'm not generally a fan of the three-man booth, but I think those guys could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they're listening.
I hope so, too.
And then,
Richie will come back.
That's one thing I was going to mention. If I can add on to this Richie scenario. Mm-hmm. So he burned Conan's mask, right? Well, obviously he didn't burn it all. So he goes back. He goes back to the neighborhood, puts the mask on Richie, and runs him over again with Conan's mask. That would be major heat.
Poor Richie has to die twice.
That's serious. Just for no reason, walks over to his house, puts the mask on him, makes him walk into the middle of the road.
Once wasn't enough for you to die, Richie.
Man, that's they would break records for their pay-per-views if that happened. I think that's personal. That's good. We've all been there.
What do you think of this Moose heel turn so far?
So I actually wrote this in my report tonight. I think Moose has done okay. I think he's played the character well. The thing that I think is hurting them is that he doesn't have a very strong babyface to play off of, just because Johnny Impact's not a very strong babyface. Andrew, what do you think? Because I don't think that he's necessarily done a bad job. I think it's probably more along the lines that Johnny Impact and Eddie Edwards, so it seems like it's going to be his opponent at the pay-per-view, neither one of them are particularly strong baby faces right now.
Yeah, I think he's doing decent work. He hasn't been given a lot of mic time either, which I think is a little unfortunate just because, you know, Austin Aries is the leader of their group. So I think that's kind of hurting him a little as well. I think he's doing better work than when he was a babyface, but Eddie Edwards is just too goofy for me to take seriously. I don't get what they're really going for with him. So to have just this goofball character that is a bad actor, and then having Moose play off him, it's just not a good fit. I think time will tell. I think he could develop into a pretty good heel, but this feud isn't going to get him very far doing that.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
And what are your opinions on Killer Cross? Because tonight we saw a little bit more of him. And I was trying to think, well, we even haven't seen him in a singles match.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion yet, honestly, just because we haven't seen him. Like you said, I don't know that he's going to be a big singles wrestler ever, really, for them. Maybe I'm wrong. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the jury is still out on Killer Cross. I think if not, I mean, he's good in the role as kind of being Austin Aries' muscle. I don't think he's bad there at all. But whether or not he's going to be someone they can build around as a singles wrestler, I'm just not sure that he's going to kind of fit the mold of what they're typically looking for as a singles wrestler. I don't know that he's, I don't know enough about his background though either. I don't know if he's wrestled enough to really be considered a good singles wrestler, to have the potential to be a good singles wrestler. I don't know much about his career prior to this. So, Andrew, what do you think there? Do you think that he has the potential to be a singles guy at any given point, or do you think he's probably better suited in the role that he is in?
Promo-wise, I think tonight was his best night. I think he's been kind of awkward in other promos that he's done so far. I think he's still trying to find his character. We have seen him in a couple singles matches. He took on Falaba once, and I believe Petey Williams once.
Oh, okay.
They didn't.
I don't know why. Oh, I do remember the Petey Williams.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They weren't overly memorable. They're fine. I think he could. He's another guy, I think, who could develop into more. I don't think he screams main event potential at the moment. But he's pretty decent at his character, has a good look. Yeah,
like a lot of Impact guys, I feel like we just say he's fine.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at with him. He's fine. maybe he'll be more. Maybe he'll just not quite pan out. But he's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm still kind of on the fence about him. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, he didn't really show me anything. Still just kind of there.
Yeah.
Then it makes me go wonder, like, why did you have this big old hype and this big old mystery, you know, behind him? And then for, like, what, 4 months later, he's just kind of there now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he sells too much, too. If he's going to be this killer of a character, he should be able to put people out in faster matches, you know, quicker, and people should actually be afraid of him because he attacked so many people and laid them out, and that just seems like it was so long ago and forgotten at this point.
Right. So, anyways, all right. Well, gentlemen, it was nice talking to you, and you have a nice evening.
Yes, you too. Thank you for the call, and thanks for tricking us and thinking that you may have been Richie. That was...
Oh, got my hopes up.
Next week.
Actually, there we go.
We'll tease that next week, that we will be... Richie will be on the show.
An exclusive.
Next week. Making his long-awaited return. Oh, it would be a long-awaited role. He's never been on the show, so it wouldn't be a long-awaited return.
Heavily hyped debut?
Yeah, there it is. His heavily hyped debut. All right. Thanks for the call, Matt.
All right. You got it. Bye-bye.
All right. 515-605-9345 if you want to get on the line before we wrap up the show. Andrew, is there anything that we are particularly missing or anything we haven't discussed that needs to be discussed?
Oh, gosh. Just kind of looking over some of my notes. I think we talked about quite a bit. You know, I just... My biggest miss of the night is the stupidity of Pentagon and Phoenix teleporting. That just really bummed me out.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people teleport in wrestling, but to go in the ring, outside of the ring...
Sounds like it's a ridiculous thing to say. I know people teleport all the time. I mean, this is wrestling. But
once you tie a guy up, that's a whole new level. Like, that's... You can't do that in 8 seconds. I don't know.
Generally speaking...
Generally speaking, they made this feud dumber than it needs to be. Cage is like, I'm just going to complain again. Cage beat up those guys by himself. This is such a waste of all six men's time And I get more disgruntled the closer they get to pay-per-views because of their price point. So this is a marquee match, and they're making us pay. If you look at the dollars-wise per match, it's like $7 a match.
Oh, wow.
That's too much.
You know what? When you put it that way, yeah, it is.
$6-$7. I don't know, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it is. I don't like that.
I know. I don't like that at all. I mean, that could easily be an Impact main event, and nobody would say that should have been saved for a pay-per-view. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything else, really. I mean, we hit on almost everything else in the show, from what I can gather.
Actually, I'll do one more thing. Who do you think Scarlett Bordeaux is going to...
Oh.
Have as her protege, or I can't remember the word she used.
She's holding a talent search, I believe.
Talent search,
right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
So, and this is someone. So, if I remember the segment correctly, this is someone that she is just going to give her undivided attention to.
Right.
So, my guess is that it's something stupid. just because. It feels like that's what always happens.
Yeah.
What would be the most ridiculous thing? Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is Grado, but he's in the middle of doing something else stupid. So I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense. I don't know. What do you think? Is there anybody that you think...
You know, that's originally why I was looking at the Impact roster tonight, and then so many names popped up from the past that I'd forgotten about, like Baron Dax, Basil Baraka, Aaron Rex. you know, the only person, you know, looking at their rock, like, I don't know, Chandler Park, something stupid like that, if he came back, I know we'd... nobody,
you know... Robbie E. back into the company, Rob Terry.
Jesse. I know I said Jesse Godders and her before would make an.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Goodman. But they'll go even dumber. I don't know who that would be at this point in time. But yeah, it's not going to be good. I mean, they're doing this, and they're also doing the comedy of Eli Drake having surprise partners. it's a bit much.
He's going to challenge all of the luchadors next week.
Oh, man. Christian York. Man, so many names on here. It's a blast from the past. Anyways, yeah. I have nothing good, basically, is probably going to come from it.
Yeah, I have the same opinion. I don't know what's going to come of it, but probably nothing good. That's my opinion also.
Also, Eddie Kingston is listed in their alumni and on their current roster, so... Can somebody just, like, from Impact put an intern on this tomorrow and just clean this thing up?
Good for Eddie Kingston. Managing to be in two places at once.
And the pictures are, like, different shape sizes. It just looks like a GeoCities site from 2003.
Yeah, their website is not very good at all.
This is terrible.
I don't know who did it, but it's not good.
Wow. Aiden O'Shea, that's my guess.
Aiden O'Shea.
Come back.
I don't know if we ever talked about this, but I remember hearing a couple of years ago. This goes back probably, I want to say, 2 or 3 years ago now at this point. But there was at one point where the Impact website was just not being updated ever.
Oh, wow.
And then they finally went to like a different... They launched a completely different website. Same name, but the design was totally different, and it was horrendous. Yeah. There was basically no information on it whatsoever. You know, there may have been very minimal roster information on it, but there wasn't really any information on the site at all. And I remember hearing at the time, and again, I don't know if this is true, so this is speculation, but I remember hearing at the time that the reason why the design of the site changed was that they had to go to a new hosting company or server or whatever because they had gotten locked out of their own website.
Oh, wow.
I think it had to do with whoever they – and this was under the Dixie Carter administration. So,
of course, again, yes.
No surprise. But whoever they had paid to design the website, they had apparently stopped – or managed the website. They had apparently stopped paying. And in retribution, whoever that was doing it just said, well, you know what? I'm just – not going to update things anymore. And then they asked for login information, and he just said, no. No, wow. I'm not going to give it to you. So they were completely locked out of their own website for, I want to say like a month or two before they were finally able to kind of get back in. And that's when they realized, it was a really cheaply designed, horrifically looking, just like Flash-based website that was terrible. And it was that way for a while because they couldn't get into it.
Wow. Yeah, it's that doesn't surprise me. That would be true. And yeah, this is bad. You know, just like if you work at a company and somebody leaves the company, I feel like you remove that the next day.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler Park, I don't think is drawing a paycheck. From Impact, and I'm gonna guess he hasn't got one in 6 months or so. So, how does that not cross a single person's mind there?
It makes their roster look bigger. I mean, honestly, that's the only thing I can think of.
That could be.
You know, like I said, it's like that indie theory of okay, well, we're just gonna put everybody on this roster who's ever done anything for us ever to make our roster look as big as possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Brooke Hogan.
She's not still in the roster, is she?
No. No, but her picture is like literally three times the size of Braxton Sutter's. It's just, this is the goofiest thing. I can't get over this.
Well... Well, I think on that note, we've said everything that needs to be said.
Yep.
For another week.
That's a good way to wrap up. Yeah.
For another week, we've said it all. Mm-hmm.
Join us next week for Richie's much anticipated, heavily hyped
Richie's Redemption.
Richie's Redemption here on
next
the
Impact week podcast. On the live cast.
Featuring Leviathan and the Prototype. Sponsored by Comda.com.
Yeah, what is it? Comda?
Comda? I'm adding it. Cucamonga? I don't know.
You know, we hear the thing 19 times a show. We should probably remember this.
Yeah.
But
Comda. Comda. Comda.com.
Comda? I think it's... I don't remember now. I think it's Comda.
I think it's Comda, too.
Comda, right? It's really sticking on our brains.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job with the promos when we can't even remember what the thing is called. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for the live cast for this week. As we've gone off on enough tangents. Mm-hmm. We've said everything that there is to be said. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about more of this next week when we will be then 2 weeks out from Bound for Glory.
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the live cast for this week. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. Remember to listen to all the other shows here at PW Torch Livecast because there's a lot of them, and you can listen to anything. Pretty much anything that is you could possibly be interested in regards to pro wrestling, we have you covered here on the livecast on one of our many shows or at pwtorch.com or with PW Torch VIP. And Wade's going to be around in just a second to tell you more about PW Torch VIP. So if you're not a VIP member yet, we hope that you will join us on the VIP side of the site. And next week, you would get to hear Andrew Socek and I do our picks for what's next week? What is it called? Super Showdown. Super Showdown.
Yeah, Super Showdown.
I'm operating on very little sleep.
Yeah.
So I completely drew a blank on what the name of the show was called. Super Showdown.
I thought it was tomorrow. I'm so out of it. So
no, I'm pretty sure
next week.
Yeah, it's October 6th. All so right. We'll do our Super Showdown picks next week, and we do that as a VIP after show. So if you're not a VIP member, you won't get to hear us make our expert Super Showdown picks. where we get everything right, you won't get to hear that. So between now and next week, you should go VIP. Then you'll get to hear Andrew and I make our Super Showdown picks, which is, I know, is just highly important to everybody. And you'll also get all of the other VIP content at pwtorch.com. So check that out at pwtorch.com/goVIP. And I think that'll do it. So for Andrew Socek, I am Mike McMahon, thanking you again for listening to the live cast here on a Thursday. And we will talk to you next week right back here at 10 p.m. Eastern when Impact goes off the air here on pwtorchlivecast.com.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post-shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/goVIP, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/goVIP.